anyway, we're talking about life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit. And my feeling is, and I think this is probably correct with lots of us here, there's quite a few of us could do with a little bit of a touch of God this morning. Not just me. I mean, I blamed January a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's just life, isn't it? It's just life. And, you know, especially when you feel like God is on your case for something, things just seem to get difficult, don't they? Martin Luther used to talk about this, a long time ago, 500 years ago. He said, we face sin, death, and the devil. And in that, as he unpacks that, he says this. He says, there's stuff in my life that is my fault. It's my sin. And the reason there's an issue between me and the Father is because I am in this place of sin. I keep doing stuff that I know as a follower of Jesus I shouldn't do. Sin. And then there's the devil. There's definitely spiritual attacks, isn't there? There's stuff that comes at us, and we're going, why is this happening to me? And then there's death. I think I should use the word life, don't you? But he's talking about humanity. There's stuff in the human world that we just face. Sickness, unemployment, those things that actually, you can't blame the devil for them. Isn't this just like, no, I'm not going to say that. No, don't do that. You can't blame the devil for them. You can't blame yourself for them, but they happen to you. But all these things conspire sometimes, don't they, to leave us feeling dry spiritually, to leave us feeling nowhere spiritually. Friday night, we had a night of prayer, and I'd had a really tough week. And I can't tell you anything bad that happened, but it was full. You know those weeks that are just so full, so busy, you're out all the time, not by no means terrible stuff, just busyness in life, in ministry, in family. 8 o'clock on Friday morning, I'm changing a bulb for Jack on his car because it's the only time in the week I have to do it. And I'm stressed at 8 o'clock on Friday morning. And that stress does not go away as we prepare. Dave and I are setting up for the prayer room in the evening. And then Siobhan and the other guys came and helped us. And the stress does not go away. And people are coming at 8 o'clock going, oh, this is nice. And I am still like up to here. Do you know the feeling? I'm not full of the Spirit. I'm full of the... Do you know that one? I just needed a touch from God. Actually, I didn't need some supernatural experience, which I believe heartily in, 25 years since the Toronto blessing this week. You might not know what that is, ask me later. Awesome, crazy, weird, all in one bag. But I just needed some time with God. And I sat in a tent in the church. It was a bit strange. And just laid there. And just laid there. God, I need you. Sometimes to be full of the Spirit is just to give you and him a bit of space. A bit of chance. To put the stuff down that we have been so busy. I probably spent an hour and a half laying down on Friday night. I'm amazed I didn't fall asleep. But I'm just trying to seek and find God. And we need to be in that place of letting him speak to us. 3 times in the scripture we're told to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Twice by Paul and once by Jude. Jude, whose favorite book is Jude? I don't quite get it because it is bonkers in a little way. It's got some quite interesting stuff in it and it's really short. I'm convinced I should become a Jude expert because Romans is just too difficult for me. But I can probably cope with Jude. 20-something verses. So we're just going to read this. This is one of the 3 pray in the Spirit verses. We're going to read the others as the morning goes on. But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers with their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. It is a command. We're told again and again and again, well, not actually again and again and again, 3 times, to pray in the Spirit. But also, it's inferred consistently through the New Testament. Jesus, in John 14 and 15, in the upper room discourse, is talking about the Spirit coming and how we need to pray. As the Spirit comes, how we need to pray in this relationship. You know, one of the reasons that the church is weak in the Western world is because we've forgotten how to pray. We've made prayer a thing without the Spirit. And if you think you can pray without the Spirit, you definitely can. If you've ever gone to a church school in any way, you know you can pray without the Spirit, right? If you stand with, I don't know, 300 boys at St. Margaret's and say the Lord's Prayer on a Friday, you ask them whether the Holy Spirit is there. Our Father, who is Martin Evans? It's easy. Anyone can pray. Siobhan reminded us a few weeks ago, everyone prays. But we can pray in or we can pray out. And we need to be those who are praying in. God, will you release your Spirit to us? Jude's really clear, you see. He says, build yourselves up. He doesn't say, this is the role of the leaders. I like that verse. He doesn't say this is down to the pastors and the vicars. He says, build yourselves up. You need to be a people of prayer. He's not one of these Western individualists, Jude. He lives in a world massively separated from ours. But this is a word to you. What are you doing about your spiritual life? And if your spiritual life is just a Sunday morning, I have to tell you, it's not enough. It's not enough because there's too much crap happens in those other 6 days, isn't there? We need to be a people who are filling ourselves with the Spirit of God. He offers this to us and he says, come on, pray in the Spirit. It's a direct word to us. The challenge is, of course, the word in, because you have to be in to pray in the Spirit. That's really important, that. This is not something I'm telling you to do this morning, that you need to be equipped to do it. You have to be a follower of Jesus. You have to be a follower of Jesus, because when you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus gives you his Holy Spirit. True? I feel like we need a bit more life here this morning. True? Yeah. It gives us his Spirit. In fact, this is one of the reasons that the early church worshipped Jesus as God. You can have this one for free. But the early church worshipped Jesus as God. They are monotheistic Jews. They believe in one God. So how can they worship this man as God? Well, Jesus gives his Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. If Jesus gives something of God to you, who does that make him? It makes him God. If you give somebody else's stuff to somebody, that's called stealing, isn't it? So he can only give the Spirit of God if he is God. That's Christology 102. It's very important. Jesus gives the Spirit to his people. You can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. But this is what we hear consistently in the New Testament. There is always more. There is always more. So you can be a Christian this morning. I wear one of these wristbands on my wrist, a little 4 points. It's really simple. It says this, God loves you. God loves you. It says, I have sinned. That's a big issue for our culture. Everyone knows everyone's sinned, but no one wants to tell them. Well, let me do the dirty work for you this morning. You are a sinner. You are. And at heart, you know you are. I don't want you to be depressed about that, because Jesus died for you.
Amen.
I'm missing my wife this morning. She's not very well. Jesus died for you. So if God loves you, you're a sinner, Jesus died to take your sin on the cross. But the last little question mark is, you have to decide. You can decide to follow him, but when you decide to follow him, he comes into your life by his Holy Spirit. You do not have a 33-year-old Israeli man climbing into your body when you ask Jesus into your life. He comes in by his Holy Spirit. By his Holy Spirit. So does that mean then? Does that mean then that Christians, when they pray, are praying in the Spirit? Does that mean that? Well, I don't think it does. Because if it meant that, they would just say pray here, wouldn't they? There's more to it here than just prayer. There's more to it here than just prayer. We need to pray. We need to be in. And one of the things I was reminded of this week, I'm reading a book by Andy Stanley, a minister, pastor in the States. You know, and just in this book, he's saying the church needs to remember that the church is for the non-members. You know, we're not meant to be a holy club. We're meant to welcome those that were outside to come in. You know, if all of you have had this conversation, lots of you have, where people have gone, oh, I couldn't come to your church. I'm not good enough. Have you ever had that thing? And you're like, oh, well, hopefully you're like, oh, please, no, come. You should see them. They're terrible. But it's true, isn't it? You're not good enough, but Jesus is. We have to remind ourselves consistently, what is it that we're doing that stops people coming in and feeling welcome? What is it that we do that stops somebody who is entirely unchurched from coming in? Now, actually, this is one of the things we do, isn't it? Some bloke talking for 30 minutes. Oh, I'm not going to stop because I think church should be a bit weird. But we have to be welcoming. Jesus comes to bring the outsiders in. That's why he comes. He comes to bring the outsiders in. In fact, if you read through Luke's gospel, Jesus has harsh word after harsh word for the religious professionals, and he has just these gracious words for those who are on the outside. The women, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the Romans, the broken. Come in. There's a place for you here. Come and meet me. Come and be filled with my Holy Spirit. Our next bit of verse, Romans 8. If you've got a paper Bible in front of you, there's often a little title. I don't know who does those titles. My theory is that when they do like the interpretation of the words, the guy who isn't very good at it, he gets to make the titles up. You know, let's give him the job. Because they're not in the Greek or the Hebrew, they're just these little titles. But often in Romans 8, it says life in the Spirit. It's a cracking chapter. I'll read later. It is deep and dense. We won't do all of it this morning. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. That tells you about who you are. So if you are in, so if you've become a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you've joined the way, whatever phrase you want to use for it, Jesus comes and lives in you by his Spirit. And then Paul says in Romans, and you are adopted. You become a son of God. Even if you're a woman, you become a son of God. This is first century Jewish and Roman culture, legal speak here. You become the heir. Someone has to die for you to get your inheritance. Do you know that? Who has to die? Jesus. Jesus dies so that you can receive your inheritance. So when we pray, we have this incredible step up. Now, we've talked about this. If you haven't talked about this in your life group, what happens when other people pray? What happens when Hindus pray? What happens when Jews pray? What happens when Muslims pray? Now, I'm not telling you for a second that God does not hear people. I believe our God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omni everything else. I believe he's on it. He hears what people pray. We know from Acts that when Cornelius prays, he is not yet a follower of Jesus. But when Cornelius prays, God hears him and sends angels and the Holy Spirit. And they all start speaking in tongues. They haven't been baptized or anything. They're not following the rules, are they? God hears him. But I also know this for sure. In Romans chapter 8, it tells me that I am a son. And I can approach the Father as Abba, as Daddy. And I can pray to him. And that means that he hears me. Which is why when you pray, your prayers are answered. I know sometimes they aren't, and that's in a couple of weeks' time. But when you pray, your prayers are answered. I have this incredible thing going on in my life. People who are not Christians ask me to pray. I mean, they don't say, hey, Pastor, would you mind praying for me? They say, Nick, would you have a word with the big man? Or worse than that, my mate David, I trained nursing with, he's not been too well recently. Your Facebook messages me. I haven't spoken to him, I haven't seen him face to face for 25 years. He messages me, I'm not too well. Would you have a word? Like, who's the only I've worked with? The NHS? He knows that I'm a follower of Jesus. He's not. He's not a Christian. As far as I know, he's never been one. But he knows if Nick prays, something happens. Is that because of the wonder of Nick? You need to be more confident that it isn't. Is it because of the wonder of Jesus?
Yes.
Why? Because I have access to the throne room of the Most High God, and so do you. Oh, that's awfully nice. We can't help being English, can we? Or British, or whatever you are, you know. I'm trying to get the Nigerians at the back of the door. Come on. Come on. We have access. It's incredible. It's incredible. Paul and Jude said it was pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. God hears us. He reminded me of that old joke about the atheist who's walking through the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. And as he's hiking through the mountains, this grizzly bear rises up and starts to chase him. I mean, he's going to die. And he's running as fast as he can, but the bear's about to catch him. And so he cries out to God, God, will you help me? Instantly, the time stops, and God speaks to him. I'm in a minute. You've done all you can to disprove my existence. You've done all you can to speak about out against my son, Jesus. You know, isn't it a little bit hypocritical to ask me for help right now? And he says, oh, you've got a point there, God. Tell me what, can't you just make the bear a Christian? God says, okay, I can do that. Takes his fingers. Bear swipes him, kneels on him, and says, thank you, Lord, for this meal that you have provided. I told it in my life, and I laughed so hard, I'll try again. I know God is listening, but you are special. And this is really important for our nation. You are special. Who will stand in the gap? It's you. And you won't get famous on it. And you won't get interviewed in Christianity magazine. And no one will know your name here. But there are a couple of instances in Scripture where we know that the saints that pray are famous in heaven. Why do you want to be famous? Will you stand in the gap and pray? Pray in the Spirit. Nope. That one. Great. Pray in the Spirit. I'm already out of time. Look at that. So I'll read this one. Ephesians 6. This is our next one. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fiercely as I should. Interesting that in Romans and Ephesians, Paul says that there is trouble when you're a follower of Jesus. That kind of kicks the prosperity gospel in the head, doesn't it? There is trouble. But there's also blessing and there is prosperity. Live in the tension, people. It's a beautiful thing. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. For a lot of people, they read this phrase, pray in the Spirit, and they think it's shorthand for pray in tongues. We'll get to the praying in tongues in a second. But if Paul and Jude meant pray in tongues, they'd have said that. Apart from anything else, it is a short sentence in Greek. So it's not a shortcut. So pray in the Spirit means more than just kind of, you know, the Pentecostal experience, if you like. It means more than that. There is a deeper, wider, bigger thing here that we, as the followers of Jesus, with access to the Father, are being called into. So if you are in, then you are being called into more. Earlier on in Ephesians, Paul says this, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. The way the Greeks phrase the present imperative, it's a go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on, go on. Which is why my week last week when I was down and, you know, beaten, I know that there is more for me. I know there's more. I just need to come to the Father and say, will you fill me with your Spirit again? Will you give me more of your Spirit again? This demonstrates very clearly that prayer in the Spirit is not about a particular style. With all types of prayers, my favourite prayer is an Orthodox, Greek Orthodox prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a 2,000-year-old prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I must have prayed that 50 times on a Friday evening. Bit of liturgy from the Pentecostal pastor. Very helpful sometimes. And it's one of those short ones I can remember. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's not about the style. It's about the attitude. Attitude, not content. It's about where we are with God. You can pray in the Spirit, whether you are an extrovert or an introvert. You can pray in the Spirit silently, and you can pray in the Spirit out loud. You can pray in the Spirit in your car, in your church, wherever you find yourself. It's about attitude. It's about being in the Spirit. Have I emphasized that enough? Great. Prayer in the Spirit is about discernment. It's about knowing what to pray. Dave was spot on this morning. We're in the middle of kind of the world is getting swirled. Oh, somebody write that down. The world is getting swirled. It's another spoken word there coming, isn't there? Have a little read of Revelation. And see what you think. And have a chat with Dave later. He'll tell you all about it. But we are in the last days. We have been for 2,000 years. But we are in the last days. There is stuff that's happening in our world that makes me go, ooh, Jesus is coming. If Jesus comes in my lifetime, I would not be surprised. Do you know why I wouldn't be surprised? Because I'm a follower of Jesus, and he's told me to look and watch and see. But there was pastors like me in 1665 thinking the same. You know, we have to be ready. And if he doesn't come in this generation, he will come in another one. But we need discernment when we pray. Some people ask us to pray something and it's easy to say yes to. Would you pray? I'm an unemployed pastor. I want a job. Would you pray for a job? Yes, I will. But with these bigger things, it's difficult, isn't it? Lord, show us what to pray. Show us what to pray. Show us what to pray about Brexit. Show us what to pray about the rise of fascism across Europe. Show us what to pray. Show us what to do with our prayers. Show us how to pray in the Spirit. Will you show us, Lord? Whenever these guys talk about praying in the Spirit, they are talking about praying in tongues. And this is something that's unusual to you or that you've never heard about. This is something that Scripture talks about in the New Testament. It certainly, the gift of tongues was prevalent across the churches, right across the ancient Near East, all over the place. Everywhere there was a Jesus church popped up, the gift of tongues popped up with it. And these gifts have not stopped. They have not ceased. There's not a single bit of biblical evidence to show that those things that God gives his people have stopped happening. They are there for us to push into. So there for you. Just, if you actually speak in tongues, could you just take your hand up? So keep your hands up, and everybody else just look at them. Okay, have a look around. Everyone's allowed to look around. Great, and put your hands down. That'll become relevant in a minute or two. Now, you need to know a little Greek, okay? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking all about spiritual gifts, and he's saying, you know, everybody in this room gets something or things from the Father. Jesus says he doesn't give you a snake if you ask for an egg. So he says this is a good stuff, so don't get freaked out about it, but God has got good things for you. And there's all sorts of things, faith, hospitality, tongues, preaching, teaching, apostleship, leadership, all sorts of stuff. And at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says this, writes in Greek, are all apostles, are all prophets, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues. And the way the Greek is written, is the answer is always no. That's very important for us. Because there are those who will tell you that everyone must speak in tongues, and if you don't, you're a second-class Christian. And some of you have experienced that word in your life. And reject it. If you know Jesus, you are a first-class Christian. I mean, there might be work to be done, but that's all right. You need to know this is not for everybody, but don't let that put you off pushing into what God might do for you, because the last point was discernment. And sometimes you do not know what to pray. True? Sometimes you do not, or sometimes you're just, how many times can I pray healing? I need to, I don't know what to pray. And that's where the gift of tongues is amazing. It releases us into something that the Spirit of God has given us to connect our spirit with His in the Father's will. It is incredible. Now, I think there are three separate but linked gifts in the New Testament. So in Acts 2, all the disciples get full of the Spirit, day of Pentecost, and they all start speaking in other languages. That does happen occasionally throughout history, but never on that scale. And then by 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, I don't think Paul's talking about that. I think it's about two different things. He's talking about a public tongue, where somebody gives a public tongue. And in the time I've been pastor here, we've not had one of them. But if God gives you a tongue to bring on a Sunday morning, bring it. Because there are people in this congregation who have the gift of interpretation. So the scripture says if somebody's got a public tongue, bring it and someone will interpret it. Don't let that freak you out. I'll tell you about it at the time. But for most of the time, I think this gift is not meant to be a forefront gift. It's meant to be battle. It's meant between you and the Lord for you to use in your prayer life, for you to use when you do not know what to pray. You might have heard somebody speaking in tongues if you're sitting next to them in worship. They're not bringing something public for everybody else, but they're just worshiping God. It's a worship thing, and it is something God has given out today, like this day. I think I've told you about my friend who, a couple of years ago at camp, he comes and says to me, I keep getting these words in my head, and I've Googled them. That's the modern world, isn't it? I've Googled them. One of them is Turkish for honey. The other one doesn't mean anything. I said to him, God's given you the gift of tongues. He said, he can't do that. My church doesn't believe in it. Well, your church might not, but your God does. And that's really important for us. It's really important for us because, as I said to my friend, he's not asking you to stand at the front of church on Sunday morning and prophesy this thing. When he wants you to do that, you will know. He's given you something for your personal worship with him, to connect yourself with him. And that is good, isn't it? And those people who put their hands up this morning, are your ministry team this morning. If you've got some questions, there's loads more questions that we haven't got time to answer them. If you've got questions about that gift, they would love to answer them. And if you would like to start speaking in tongues, they would love to pray for you. I'm not saying you will, but you should seek it. I was very encouraged by John Piper. Some of you will be aware of John Piper's famous preacher in the States. And I watched a little video of him, and he's not renowned for his charismatic stuff. And I watched a little video of him, and he was very interesting. He said, oh, it's amazing you asked me this question, because the guy asked him about speaking in tongues. And he said, I actually asked the Lord for that this morning. So John Piper was getting to the end of his ministry career, probably. And he said, it's a gift that I've never received, but it's a gift that I've constantly asked for, because I believe we should constantly ask for God for good things. Oh, that was great. It's never too late. What has God got for you? Ask him. In Ephesians, I must be placed completely. Later on in Ephesians, it talks about attitude, we talk about discernment, we talk about tongues, and if you think tongues is weird, then getting this thing on groans. We need to pray with groaning. And I don't know what that's about, but I think there was a little bit of a, sometimes you need to go down the trom and face into the mercy and just go, ah, don't you? Because I don't know what to pray. And I'm so frustrated. And I'm struggling. And Paul seems to be saying to us, sometimes, if you're in the Spirit, that is a great way to pray. Because you're saying, Lord, this thing that I've prayed for a decade, or 20 years or 30 years, this thing, we need to be using everything God has given us. We need to be using everything God has given us. Maybe Romans 8:26 is the groaning one if you want to check me out. Last bit. Obedience. To pray in the Spirit is about obedience. It's about hearing God and doing what he says. If we just pray over these next few months and do nothing, I think that is poor. I really do. We are called to respond to what God is saying to us. We're called to respond. As I was researching my sermon, I found this little testament by a guy called Jason Meyer, who's a Bible college lecturer now. And he said, while I was doing my PhD, I was working for UPS, the Parcel People's? I'm working for UPS, trying to do my PhD at the same time. So I was doing nights packing the vans. He said, now go home at 4 a.m., get home at 4:30. He said, and one morning, I'm on my drive in the car, it's 4:30. He said, I have no idea how I got there. I have no idea. And he said, I'm quite disturbed because I'm awake, but I don't think I have been. And so I lock the car and I walk into the house as quiet as I can. I'm getting into, you know, going to bed. I'm going to try and sneak into the bed. My wife should be fast asleep. I get in the bedroom, the lights are on. She's sitting up wide awake. I said, what are you doing? She said, the Lord woke me up about half an hour ago to pray for you. You need to be obedient. What is God saying to you? When God just pops somebody's name into your head, stop thinking it's just the cheese. Well, I'm a friend of his name, it is, I suppose. But in general, pray for them. Perhaps even tell them you prayed for them. Be obedient to what God has given you to do. I have friends in Argentina years ago that were... They were from my church in Newcastle, and they were on mission in Argentina. And I was walking in the middle of the night to pray for my friends Robert and Alice. So I'm up, and I'm praying for them. And I can't wait to hear what happened on that Tuesday when they come back, because I'm thinking, wow, you know, they've been attacked by crocodiles or, I don't know, Argentina, something, gauchos or something. And they come back, and I'm like, hey, how was Tuesday? Tuesday was fine. Yeah, but I was up in the middle of the night praying for you. Well, it obviously worked, said my friend Robert, because we saw nothing. You might not see what God is calling you to, but what is God calling you to is obedience. Is obedience. Pray in the Spirit. This is what you need to do with this morning, church. You need to be in. You need to be in. If Jesus is not Lord in your life, give him a go. Give him a go. Stick your toes in the water. Try praying. God, I'm sorry for my sin. Will you forgive me? Will you come into my life? Try it. It will change your very existence. Once you are in, and those of you who are in, pray in the Spirit. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just, and he will forgive you of all unrighteousness. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? You just ask. You just ask. It's nothing mental. It is good. God will not give you something bad. But as he fills you, ask him for more. There is always more. What's God saying to you this morning? What are you going to do about it? Let's stand together if you can. Come on, worship team. Come on, leaders. Those who put their hands up, look to talk with you and pray with you. I just want to pray for all of us. If you wouldn't mind, perhaps just hold your hands out. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but God's got something for you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. Lord, we thank you for the hope that you give us. Lord, we want to be people who pray in the Spirit, who hear your word. Lord, help us. Lord, I pray you release new things to us this morning. The gift of tongues. The gift of groaning. Lord, help us meet you. And know what you are saying to us. And I pray you pour your Spirit out on your people this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.